Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez. Joining me today is my friend Carson. Carson, what's up?
What's up? And you mean the unofficial member of the Midnight Society?
Yes.
That's my official title.
Very unofficial.
My official unofficial title. So.
Oh yeah, perfect. So we are going
to
talk.
Glad to be back. I'm really glad to be back.
Oh yeah. So in this one, we're going to talk about Are You Afraid of the Dark Again? And the listeners might be asking, why are we doing so many Are You Afraid of the Darks? Well, it's because the last one me and Carson did actually had double the amount of downloads as I normally do. So I'm pretty sure Halloween
what?
Fans.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You didn't know that, did you?
Mm-mm, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
It had...
My head's kind of getting big right now. But I also, I mean, it is Are You Afraid of the Dark. Like, I can speak for itself. I can't take its praise.
Right. So. Yeah, I
hear you. It's a classic.
It's all because people love Are You Afraid of the Dark, and they want to hear people talking about it. So what I'm trying to do with the Halloween podcast, I'm trying to get it to be more structured. Where 1 week the Halloween podcast discusses this, and then another week the Halloween podcast discusses that. And I'm trying to work it where I can do the same type of show with a regular guest every single week of the podcast. So since we had such a good reaction with Are You Afraid of the Dark, I was thinking of doing one every single week, every single month. So you're going to
Wait.
Go ahead. Yeah, not every week, every month. So you're still going to get different Halloween content in the feed, but just know probably, I don't know, the last week in the month or the last Wednesday in the month, you get the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. And then you're going to get more Halloween movies. I got my friend Lassa, who does the Christmas podcast with me. He wanted to come on board so we can do some Halloween movies. So we're going to do that for 1 week. And then the other 2 weeks, I'm still trying to figure out what to do with those additional 2 weeks. But I will still have a rotating guest like I normally do on the Halloween podcast. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Once I get it all structured, situated, the episodes are going to start releasing like this one. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So bear with me.
Yes, we're going to be exciting. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think let's just get right into the topic because I believe I said everything I needed to say.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so I'm officially your Midnight Society, right? So I'm your third person every month?
officially, yeah, because I don't think we mentioned it in the last show how I got you on the show. I guess it's a funny story. You probably know it better than I do since I just got the response. So why don't you go ahead and tell us that?
Well, of how I got on the show?
Yes.
I think I had just saw the original Are You Afraid of the Dark, or I heard the podcast, and I don't know. It just didn't... Yeah, that was really problematic for me, and it needed a real diehard Are You Afraid of the Dark fan. So I wrote to you, I think, some like comments about it. And yeah, and you liked my comments, and you wanted to hear more. Here I am.
It wasn't entirely like that. From what I remember it was you had a problem with Bobby, who you just didn't feel was a diehard Are You Afraid of the Dark fan. And you were like, hey, I should have been on that show. You need to get me on, buddy. And then months down the road.
I didn't mean to throw him under the bus like that. He's a great 90s guy. He's a great later 90s guy, you know, but you need someone like born in like the 80s who like... Yeah. Was there for it, early 90s.
I have been noticing a lot of stuff like that, where a lot of these 90s shows that are popping up, these podcasts, they're done by kids that were born in the 90s. I call them kids, but they're probably like late 20s now.
No, and like have kids of their own now.
Right. But yeah, I have been noticing that a lot of them, they were born in like 94, like 92, 90, somewhere around there. And I'm like, can you really like, you can't really grasp the nostalgia like somebody that was born mm-hmm. in like the mid 80s. Like I was born in 85. So when I became self-aware, I was around 5. I could remember a lot of stuff that happened to me when I was 5. So that's kind of how I know I was a true 90s kid, because from 1990 all the way to 99, I remember a lot of the stuff. So I am a true 90s kid.
Right, we were there for Pogs. We were there for Power Rangers. And like I had, you know, slightly older sisters. So even though I was born in 89, like I felt like they kind of filled me in and like kind of kept me up with like what the cool kids were doing. So.
Right, yeah. So... no offense.
Like when he was talking about like Nintendo 64 and watching Are You Afraid of the Dark, I was like, no man, like NES, bro. Yeah. Like the best Are You Afraid of the Dark was the beginning. Like there was no such thing as Nintendo 64. That's like in the future, bro. Like NES, Super Mario. Like, come on.
Yeah. You know? I was playing NES and watching Are You Afraid of the Dark, so I understand Carson's pain.
Yeah, no, so there's a whole, you know, beginning of the 90s, you know, Clarissa Explains It All, like Pete and Pete. There was these classic shows that I think these late, you know, kids who were born in the 90s or the late 90s that just, you know, they missed out on that. You know, they got just like the tail end of stuff or like, you know, kind of like the leftovers.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad they appreciate it, you know, but yeah, you were there for it. I was there for it.
Yeah, I was there for the entire thing. So I know. I got the memories all in my head.
Do you want to hear how 90s I am? Like the most 90s thing ever? Okay. So when Power Rangers first came out, I was like 4 or 5, wanted to take karate, went to go take karate. You know who was the karate sensei?
Who?
He was the twin of the, like, the White Ranger. He was his twin.
Oh, really?
So I was actually taught karate and given pogs after class by the Green, like, well, the White Ranger's twin, like, during Power Rangers Prime.
You know, oh, like, nice.
Like, how you don't hear anything that 90s often, do you? Like, that's like the most 90s story.
Oh, yeah, you don't really get them nowadays.
No, yeah, so that was, I even have his autograph, like, I have proof. Like, if anyone wants to, you know, doesn't believe it, it's true. I think he was a Green Ranger at the time. They changed colors at some point, so it was kind of complicated.
Yeah, he started off as the Green Ranger, and then he was the White Ranger, and then he kind of lingered around with all the new generations of Power Rangers that came about. And he was also in a episode of Family Matters, a karate one.
What? Let's see how everything ties together. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and he was a twin, just like that last episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark we talked about fake twins.
Yeah. About Ashley, he was a fake twin.
But yeah, so should we talk about this episode? What do you wanna?
Oh yeah, let's get right into it. So in this episode, we're actually let me kind of say we're not gonna go. With the Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, we're not going to go from season one, episode one, and then go all the way down. We're going to pick whatever we want, and we're going to do it that way. Mostly because...
And we're trying to do ones that I think we, like, remember, too, yeah. Or, you know...
We want to do those that we remember the most first, and then we'll get into the ones that we don't really remember, the ones we didn't watch. And stuff, because there's a couple of other podcasts that are doing Are You Afraid of the Dark, but they're starting from, you know, season one, episode one, but I just want to get right into the good ones.
Lame. That's lame. But not as cool as you and me. I'm just putting that out there.
Not at all. All right, so in this episode, we did The Tale of the Bookish Babysitter, which was season 3, episode 6. And it
1994, right?
Yeah, originally aired on February 12th, 1994.
And I actually picked this one. I remember it from my childhood. There's some twists and turns, and it's great. It's a good time.
Nice twists, but nice
definitely
turns.
Maybe not as scary as when you're older, but...
Oh, yeah. Definitely not scary at all. But... let's see. So just to give a quick synopsis of the show... It Ricky's babysitter is a strange girl with a collection of books that come alive. That's pretty much mm-hmm. the whole story.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get into the run through. So we start with the same way we started all of the other Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, with the Midnight Society. They're around the campfire. The tough guy Frank, he's like doing something with the fire. One of the girls comes up behind him with like
Sam comes up with firewood.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, I got that for you. She's like, no, like, I'm chilling. He's like, come on, like, don't be such a boy, like, don't be such a dude. She like, yeah, she definitely like lets him have it, and he like falls.
Yeah, she drops the wood and it gets all over his legs, and he goes, I'm in pain now because I didn't listen to you, little girl.
And I like how she like looks over at the other girls in the Midnight Society, and I'm like, yeah, like, who is this like loser? You know, he's like being so chauvinistic and like, you know, very classic jerk.
Frank, I remember, he was always like the outcast of them. Like, he wasn't there from the beginning. Like, somebody brought him in.
Yeah, right. Well, and then he was always like the I don't know. I feel like he was like too cool, and they didn't know if they could like let him in, you know, because he was like tough and like good looking.
Mr. Tough Guy. But yeah, whatever. So that's pretty much it. And then Betty Ann is the one that tells this story. She's like sitting there with a book, and then the brother Tucker is being.
She has a story, a book.
You got that
about
too?
A Canadian. She has a little bit of Canadian in her. Pretty excited for that.
Yeah, she did. But remember last episode we didn't know what they throw in the fire.
What is it?
It is non-dairy creamer. Yeah, I didn't even know creamer could do that.
I think I have some non-dairy creamer in my fridge right now.
Well, try it. And well, it's in the fridge. You got the liquid or the powder?
Oh, well then, yeah, I'd have to go to work to get the powder. That's really what that is. It's a powdered non-dairy creamer.
That's from the little bit of research that I did. That is what it is.
Blown away. Mind blown. I thought it was going to be something illegal, and that's definitely like, easy to access.
I know. Non-dairy creamer, it's everywhere. But,
okay, cool.
All right, so we get into the story. Carson, go ahead and take it from there.
Okay. So it starts off with this babysitter, Belinda. You know, she's like strange right away because she's like kind of like emo and goth, and she has like spiky bangs, and she's leaving this house, and the kids are like obviously having a good time, but they obviously had a good time. The mom's like, thank you, Belinda, like, see you next time. And then Belinda, being a little witch that she is, she's like, yeah, like Thursday 7 p.m or something like that. And then as she says that, she like drops a book with the book, like, I think it screams or something, but like little children or something, and she like closes it. But so that she leaves their place, and then she goes over to her next appointment.
Yeah, she goes over to...
Do you want to take it from there, or do you want me to keep going?
Oh, I got it. She goes to this boy, this bratty boy. His name's Ricky. I thought she was going home, because we don't see her. We see her leave the old house, but then she's like at the front door of the other one, and we get a glimpse inside the house before the babysitter even shows up. And this little boy, he's like watching... he's watching like Dracula or one of those old
old movie.
Something I don't think a 90s
at first I thought it was a cowboy movie, but then it looked like a zombie movie or something.
Yeah, I thought it was Night of the Living Dead until later on in the scene we get another shot of the TV and you can see Bela Lugosi like right there. So it's got to be one of the Dracula movies. So that's what he's watching, and this kid's like already a brat. He just wants to watch TV, and the mom's all like, I got a babysitter for you, and he's like,
what? I'm 12.
Yeah, I'm 12 now, Mom. I don't need no babysitter. And then
grown up.
Belinda's at the door. She knocks on it, and the mom opens the door, and she's like, oh wow, I wasn't expecting. She couldn't figure out what to. Classify this Belinda as, because she looks like pretty much the comic version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. That's what she looked like.
She just seems like a little hard. She seems like a little older. Like, you know, it's not like Babysitter's Club where it's like some teenager. It's like some like 20 like 5-year-old who like goes and like vapes. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And like,
well, I guess I didn't have vapes back then, but you know, she like just like chilled and smokes.
Yeah, for some reason she was like weirdly hot. I don't know what it was.
Well, honestly, I thought she was kind of being a little sexual when she talked to like that brat. Like when she was talking to him, like, oh wow, like you must be so amazingly mature. Like it was really. And I don't know, like I kind of got some like bad vibes.
Right.
Like we'll talk about that later, especially like when she leaves. I got really sketched out.
Well, yeah, I mean, the boy Ricky, he doesn't want to be watched, and but the mom leaves, and
she found her through a newspaper. She's like, yeah, like she like has great reviews, like everyone I talked to. I'm like, who did you like, did you? But you didn't know what her ate, like what she looked like, or like any, I don't.
Right. I guess, I mean, this is the 90s, so it's like you
could only go by Craigslist, I guess.
Yeah, you could only do like referrals. Referrals were the best thing about it. I mean, you call somebody up from the PTA and say, hey, do you know a babysitter? Oh, yeah, I got this great witch girl. Let me send her right over. Give you the number.
But I think she even found her in a newspaper. I think she like had her number placed in there. And like I was like, yeah, all it says like for like a good babysitting, call Belinda. Like something like really short like that.
But obviously it worked because she got some work.
Yeah. And so she gets there and she's like, oh, I'll change him. And the mom's like, wait, what did you just say? She's like, wait, aren't you supposed to be like leaving right now? Like, aren't you supposed to be? And she just like ushers the mom out. I'm like, red sign, like red flag. Like, no. Like,
yeah. The mom just takes off and says, here's the number of, you know, where I can be reached. And Belinda's like, yeah, we ain't gonna do that.
Belinda looks at it and laughs and like throws it.
Right.
But, yeah, then she goes and talks to like the little brat. He kind of, did you ever watch like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Mike TV a little bit.
Mike,
you know, like
TV,
obsessed, right? With TV.
Not Augustus.
But the one who was the guy who was always watching TV and who ended up like getting shrunk.
Oh yeah.
So even though he's kind of like big, like the German, like Augustus Gloop. He had like Mike TV's personality.
Oh, yeah. He just wanted to watch TV. That's all he wanted to do.
Yeah, it just sucks. And he's just like, yeah, go away. Like, whatever. Like, get out of here. She's like, well, like, I'll leave you alone if you read. Like, if you want to read for like 5 minutes. For like 5 minutes. And then I get to do like, I can watch TV all night. She's like, yeah, like, if that's what you want. Or like, if that's what's best for you. Like, I don't know. So then he starts reading, and he's all like silently reading. She's like, like, I would like to hear that too, like, please. And then he starts reading a story about a witch, and then the whole house starts shaking, man. It's like a crazy story. Like, he starts talking about like the moors and the storm on the moors.
Yeah, it sounded like a good story, but he's like, oh, boring. And then that's
right,
that was the end
right
of it.
When like, and the witch came to the door, and you hear a knock. And he just like, whatever, blah, closes it. It did sound like a good story, though. I was excited. I didn't know why there was a witch on the moors.
Yeah, I don't know either. But she, throughout the entire scene, she keeps telling him, you need to use your imagination. So he picks up a different book. The name of the book is The King's Sword. So now we got The King's Sword and some witch one. And he starts reading
witch,
that.
Or something, I don't.
Yeah. He starts reading it, and behind him, like, this hand comes out from I don't know, a doorway or something. And it's
with, like, a lot of lace, like a lacy, ghostly hand.
And it starts going towards him, and he stops again because he's bored, and he drops it, or the hand drops. And he wants to start reading this other book, but she won't let him. He's like, hey, what's that book? And she's like, no, you ain't ready for this, boy.
No. This is like eighth grade reading right here.
Yeah. So he leaves, and she warns him not to leave. Like, yeah, no, you got to stay here. You got to finish this book. But he's like, no, see you later. I'm out of here. So he goes into his room.
And then he's automatically, his Game Boy is like charged, or like, you know, has battery like on, like ready to go, which would have never been the case.
Yeah, did you see the size of that thing? Like, it was twice,
man,
the size of a Game Boy.
It was huge. It was so huge. And it made all this like loud stereotypical noise. Like, do, 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 do. He's like, look what you made me do. But it wasn't Belinda that's in his room. I was a fucking, or it was a knight. So
yeah, say that again so I can make it easier for you to edit it.
Sorry, yeah, you want to repeat that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't Belinda that was in his room. It was a knight.
A knight? What kind of a knight? A shining knight?
No, the kind that just like ruins your sleep by ruining your pillow.
Yeah.
So yeah, he cuts up the pillow. He's like, oh my gosh.
Fluff
no,
flies
he, what
everywhere.
Does he say? He says, holy. He's like, holy.
Yeah, I caught
I'm
that
like,
too.
What? I was like, really?
Yeah, he starts running away, and there's like this old man ghost like in the hallway, and this thing was creepy. I ain't gonna lie.
Wasn't that, I think they used that for like advertising for the show, like his face. It was creepy, wasn't he? Scary looking.
It was very scary looking. It made him scream. It made me scream. So we all screamed.
You're like,
he runs into this room and he closes the doors behind him, and Belinda's like sitting in front of the fireplace. I'm like, whoa, you got a fire going already? That's cool. And she's like
yeah, there's a knight in your room and a ghost in the hallway, right? He's like, yeah, like what the heck?
What's going on here?
She's like throwing it in the fire. She's like ripping pages out of the book and like throwing it in the fire.
He asks if burning the book makes them go away, and she's like, yeah, exactly. So they're burning the books. They start burning them, and then there's a knock at the door, like a bang, like a really intense one. And I'm like, oh, what's going on?
And this creeped me out when I was little, dude. This really creeped me out.
What creeped you out? That it was Belinda at the door, or that it was a troll or
it's
something?
Like, the fact that like you think you're all safe and stuff, it's just like the Snow White ride at Disneyland. How like you think it's just the queen, but then it turns around last minute and it's a witch. And sure enough, like who's at the door? Yeah. Belinda, like the real Belinda. She's like, mm-hmm. Don't listen to her. Like, don't do whatever that witch is telling you.
Yeah, and they end up they run away. They run into the kitchen together, and Belinda's like holding.
Can we
up
talk about that witch? Like, it looked like Belinda, but like. Her 20 years of living on the streets, like, like living a hard life, like her teeth were so gross, and all she did was like shake her little finger, like,
yeah, and that was it. Like, it's just the facial expressions on it where it was creepy,
and it didn't like attack him, you know, it just like waved her creepy fingers at him, and yeah, she's like, oh, like, watch out, she's gonna eat you.
It had like these weird teeth too, like, I don't know, they kind of look like fangs in a way. I don't know, it was weird.
They were like yellow and gross. Mm. Yeah, she needed some dental hygiene help. Uh-huh.
So they
I have toothbrush, right? Yeah.
They run off into the kitchen and they put like this, I don't know, table island in the way, and she tells him that he's inside the story now and he needs to finish the book. But because he burned her books, he needs to use his imagination. So the boy, Ricky, needs to come up with his own story now.
And he comes up with the lamest story. He's like, some weird stuff happened, and then they all went away.
And then that's it, the end. And but, you know, Belinda, that ain't going to fly with her. She's like, no, you got to try again, man.
Yeah, then he like, at this point, what? Like, the knight has, like, an axe come through the door. Yeah. And the witch is like seriously coming in the kitchen now, like.
Yeah, apparently the two stories got mixed up, because now the witch is hanging around and the knight's hanging around, and that's not really supposed to happen. Belinda's not really sure what's gonna happen, because apparently this has never happened before to her.
No, I thought she said like, "Oh, I hate when this happens." I think she has. I think she's a master of a trade. Like, she's seen it all, bro. Like, I don't. But it is true. Like, starting. I've done that before, like, tried reading two books at the same time, and it is confusing. Like, it is, like, you shouldn't do
it. It can be. But in this situation, they decide to run to the basement, which I thought in my mind, sure, go ahead, go down to the basement, get trapped where you can't get out.
I know, and he doesn't know how to turn on the lights. I know, get trapped in a basement with no exit. Don't go somewhere where you have to turn on the light at the very end of the basement.
Yeah, she tries making him finish the story, but then he asks for an Uzi so he can blast away these monsters.
Oh, yeah. He's like, they went into the basement, and then they found an Uzi. And she's like, no, dude, like, that would work for some, like, stupid TV show. I'm like, whoa, this is a TV show.
Yeah, You're Afraid of the Dark. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. But, yeah, that didn't work for her. Yeah. So.
But the boy Ricky, he notices that she's like looking into this in this book, and he's like, hey,
yeah, you think I haven't been like noticing you, like seeing that when like I wasn't looking, like give it to me. She's like, I don't know, bro. I'm like, I don't think you can handle it, bro.
No,
he's like, yeah, man, like I can.
You're not ready for this, little boy. And he takes the book and he starts thumbing through it, and. As he's thumbing through it, he gets like sucked into the world, and now he's like in a castle.
Yeah, it's like a Horcrux. Not Horcrux, it's like one of those, that was a Harry Potter term for like. He got. Keyport? Is that a word? Yeah, he got sucked away. Either way.
Yeah, he got trapped into the book, and now he's in like the castle. He's there now. That's what he's doing.
Wait, he's in some like crypt with like moss, but it's a really bright and sunny crypt. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look so bad.
Yeah, I know. At least it was like, at least he had light, you know. But yeah, so he starts saying, "Oh, like, where am I?" And then he looks down at the book, and then it says, "Whoa, where am I?" And it narrates, you know, all the stuff for him that went on, kind of like, yeah, pretty cool. But you know, I'm kind of glad he had that narrator, because there's a lot of things he wouldn't have known about like without it, you know.
Oh yeah, I was a little bit confused at this point, because I assumed he was supposed to be writing the story, so whatever he said was supposed to go into the book, but it got into so much more detail,
right? And then it told him all these things he like needed to know, like, yeah, like, you won't be able to like climb the walls. He's like, oh, I guess I can't climb up the walls.
Yeah, so he's sitting there, he's reading it, and then all of a sudden the suit of armor comes shambling in.
Yeah,
and the knight swings his sword at him, and he darts away like a hero. And he runs around for a little bit. He steps on bones. He
falls, he's like, oh, he like falls next to him. He looks grossed out. He's like, oh no.
he reads something about the sign, and then he yells, "The sign? What sign?" And then he looks down at his shirt, and that shirt that Belinda noticed earlier. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, Belinda like complimented him on. She's like, "Yeah, nice shirt." He's like, "Yeah, it's like a rock. Hey, don't talk to me about stuff I'm into."
That's what it was all about. But he opens up his shirt, and he's like, "Yeah, look, the sign, knight," and the knight, like,
Excalibur thing or something.
Yeah, it falls to his knees. It kind of like presents the sword to him. The boy takes the sword, and then the suit of armor just like falls apart into pieces.
Right. And then now I was like, "Now you're gonna have to fight to the death." I didn't say that, but something along the lines of that.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, man, I don't want to fight."
He's like, "Fight? I don't know what I'm doing." And he drops the sword, but he doesn't drop the book.
Yeah, thank God, because then it's like, then a girl who came from a different time and a different place was here. Like, if he didn't have that hint, like, he would have just kept on being mean to her and would have been eaten.
Oh,
because he was giving her advice. Like, I don't know how to get out of here either.
Yeah, like, if I knew how to get out of here, I'd tell you.
But yeah, so without the book, he wouldn't have known that, like, it was a witch. He's like, wait a minute, you're not a little girl at all.
Right.
And honestly, I thought she looked creepier as a grown-up little girl than she did earlier as the Belinda witch.
Yeah, it kind of looked the same, but I guess different. I don't know. It was really weird. It's something you have to see.
What? And she put her like hands behind the candle and stuff. I did this weird little meditation and like came back out. She remember she like bowed her head, and then when she looked up, she was, yeah, definitely ratchet.
Yeah. The boy keeps reading. He reads something about a different time, and then he thinks, a different time? I don't know what that means.
Thank God for that book.
And then that's when the little girl turns into the troll, and he trips over the suit of armor trying to get away from the troll or the witch, whatever it is. He sees the sword, and he picks it up and swings it at the troll, and in like the worst CGI 90s thing I've ever seen in my life.
Would have known she was filled with Nickelodeon slime? Like, that's like that's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it looked like. And this was what, 94? So yeah, the slime.
Yeah, I guess it just had extra slime on the set that just really needed to get rid of. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was really, really bad. But
the boy screams, and the whole witch turns into like green ooze.
And you don't even see him like slicing her belly. You just kind of like, I don't know. You don't see him swing. It's like, I was kind of surprised. Like, wow, like he had it in him.
Oh, he swings, but it's like very faintly.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow. Well, it was a little bit tougher than I thought he'd be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he grabs the book again, and he's reading some more. And all of a sudden, this wall opens up, and he reads more. I mean, he spends most of this time like reading the book, not really interacting with what's going on around him.
Right,
like,
and not imagine. Let's make it all very clear to the audience. Not imagining stuff like he's supposed to.
Right.
You know?
He's reading the story that's magically being written in front of him. And
unless it's written from his soul that he doesn't know. I don't know. I don't think that's right.
He starts thinking about the ghost, and all of a sudden, the ghost appears, and. The ghost
of, sounds like a dead whale.
from what the kid was reading, it apparently the ghost is like this ancient king that it was under the witch's spell. And
The witch from a different time and place.
The ghost goes, he goes through the open door and turns into a human king, which I thought it was
and almost
a statue
like a Jesus first. King. Like he was really glowing,
you
beautiful.
Noticed that too? Like yeah, the last shot you get of that king, it looks like Jesus.
Yeah, but all like images. Medieval.
It did. It was so weird. But
yeah, and then it's like then he presented the king with the sword, and then like saying now he's waking up and he's in like the real world. He like sits up.
Yeah, he's like in the weird.
And the mom's like, "Oh my god!"
Because Melinda was like reading the story, and he's sitting there like all glossy eyed, like looking at it, presenting
with
the
knee
sword.
Down, like he's just like handing the sword. His hands are still like outstretched. Yeah, the mom comes in and she like can't believe that he like had someone read a story out loud to him, which is like really, it's like, dude, like 3 year olds, like 2 year olds love that. Like, why are you?
Oh yeah, they
it's not like this. She didn't even walk in on him reading, did she?
Yeah, he was. Belinda let him finish reading the story, and
that's what happened.
He was like reading the last couple of sentences, and then that's when the mom walks in and says, "Oh wow, you're reading. That's weird."
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I got it reversed. Yeah, she was like blown away.
Yeah, and as soon as the
mom
got home,
oh my gosh, you're not from the TV.
Belinda's all like, "Yeah, I got to go home now." And mom points out that the mom points out that the book has
the book's
his
written
name
with
on.
His author.
Yeah, he's
same
the
same author's his name. Winters.
And he asks
Ricky Winters.
Yeah, Ricky Winters. That's his name. And he asks if it was all real. Like she's like, was it real? Because he was like in it. And she says, no, it was all just a story, all your imagination, little boy.
Imagination. Is it cool? And then the creepy part, what creeps me out, was like the mom was like, "Hey, like, how much do I owe you?" She like closed the book and was like, "You owe me nothing." Like,
nothing
as a parent, like, read, like, if you have some stranger that you hire to come babysit and then they don't want money and they feel like they've been paid, like, I don't. Something you need to look into right there, you know? Luckily, this was good. I mean, luckily he'd learned to love reading, you know, but it could have been bad.
Could have, but everything worked out fine. Apparently, it was really all his imagination. I wonder at what point she started reading the book to him. Was everything in his head? Like when he said he
did
was
going?
Did
she slip him acid at some point?
I don't think it was like that. But I don't. Did she start reading when he said he was going to go to her to his room? Because that's when he started having like the interactions with all of the things. And then we figure out at the end he was getting the story read to him. So I don't know at what
point she started
reading.
And he was like visually acting it out for her.
Yeah, it was her amusement.
Yeah, and then she leaves and yeah, that was the end of it.
Yeah, and
it said that she could never find that book no matter what he like did.
Yeah, he went to the
library. Or any of the other books that they read.
Yeah, like all of the titles that they obviously remember that I don't. They couldn't find him anywhere. So we go back.
And there's a fun fact, because I wanted to look up info about this. This is kind of sound a little smart. That actress, she was in a movie later on, Superstar. Did you ever see Superstar, like the SNL like movie? She was a character in it called Autumn Winters. Last name Winters, just like the character. Do you think they got married?
Who knows? It might have been.
Wasn't that funny? Yeah, so that was kind of... But yeah, cause I thought I had recognized her again, you know, the actress who played Belinda. So when I saw that she was in Superstar, I was like, oh, there's a goth actress in it. Maybe that's her. No, she plays like this like preppy actress. Like you'd be shocked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and she looked very pretty then too. So I guess you were right.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
Yeah. Well,
she can pull off lots of different styles.
Yeah, well, I'm attracted to the weird witch goth girl for some reason. It's probably my
Halloween
obsession. What,
you like
Halloween?
I would never have guessed.
I wouldn't either, but apparently it's my love for Halloween is bleeding into my my type.
Love for women?
Yes. I didn't want to say it like that, but yeah, basically.
Love for the female sex.
So, they go back
to
the
midnight. Can I tell you another fun fact?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Sam. So, Sam, like the one who's carrying firewood in the beginning, she was the older daughter in Reba. Like, I didn't know that. Like, she actually has quite, like, a successful, like, career.
Oh, yeah, so, I knew that.
I didn't know that. I didn't recognize her. Like, I was mind blown.
I can't think of her name, but, she still works today. I know she's in
something. Her last name is Garcia.
Yeah, that's it.
Joanna Garcia or something like that.
Yeah. She, I knew she was in the show. They also, the girl that played Cher in the TV version of Clueless.
The TV show. Yeah, she's that same one, right?
No, it's a different girl.
No, that's who she replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam was brought on to replace the girl who ended up being the Cher in the Clueless for the TV show.
Right, yeah. Are You Afraid of the Dark had a lot of guest stars and people that we would know today.
Yeah. Well, surprise. Like, yeah, definitely. But we forgot to bring it back to the Midnight Society, though.
Oh.
So the story ends, and she's like, yeah. So it comes back to, Betty Ann?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. Like, something about imagination, da-da-da. And then stupid little boy. What's his name? Oh, gosh.
Tucker.
I can't. Tucker, yeah, stupid Tucker. And it rhymes with something that should make it very easy to remember.
Uh-oh, Family Show.
Oh, yeah, you can take that out then, too. But, yeah, so he, like, comes up. He's like, oh, like, what book are you reading? She's like, oh, like, I don't want to show you. He's like, come on. And then so he starts reading it. It's like, Tucker takes the book away from beautiful Betty Ann and what? And he flips out and everyone. They could have left that in. Like, they could have let him in on the joke for a little bit longer. You know, they didn't have to tell him right away. Like, he deserves to be messed with.
Right. I mean, like, it was obvious that it was supposed to be a joke and I don't know.
How did she print out? This is, like, before, like, great printers and things.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking that, like, too. Like, before Lulu.com.
Wow, she's, like, really went all out to make him have a bad time.
She probably didn't like him as much as you don't.
I think everyone feels that way. And that's what makes, when the Are You Afraid of the Dark, when it came back, that's what makes it so bad, was that he was, like, the head of it. And it's like, no, like, what? Who left you this crown?
His brother.
He's all right, but... Oh, yeah. I just couldn't respect him as a head of the Midnight Society.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Basically, that's the whole episode in a nutshell. So what are your final thoughts on this episode, Carson?
I liked it. It was fun. Definitely good for kids. Does it inspire people to read? I hope so. Because, you know, it is true. I mean, you really do get sucked into books. Like, and what I meant... earlier about, like, reading two books at once is, like, I don't know, it's like when you read a novel or something like that, like, it really absorbs you, you know, like, you really get sucked into it, and that's a pretty cool concept, so I liked it. A good moral.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty boring.
Oh.
But I will say this, it is trying to give out a good message that, yeah, you got to use your imagination. It's good to have storytelling abilities and to use your imagination to kind of get away from watching the TV, get away from sitting and doing nothing productive like watching the TV and all that stuff.
And this is coming from a TV show, ironic.
Yeah, that was my point. It's coming from a TV show that's pretty much telling kids, hey, put down the TV shows and read a book. And I'm like, well, wouldn't that put you out of business, like TV show? But in the other hand, it is a good message. So kids should read books more. They should use their imagination more, because that's when you get older, the only time you can really use your imagination is when you're doing something creative, like writing a book, or you don't really play house with the neighborhood kids because you're pretty old for that already. So, yeah, just kids, get out, enjoy watching Are You Afraid of the Dark or reading a book. Either way, you're fine, I think.
All right. Have a good time. Just use your imagination and get outside.
All right.
And watch out for babysitters.
Especially hot ones that look like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Gosh, kinda. I mean, like a punk version of her, I guess. Like,
well, hey, if you've ever seen her in the comic book, that's how she looks.
What? No, yeah, I only know her as Melissa Joan Hart. So.
Yeah, my wife when I was 10. I know her as
Clarissa.
Man, I thought for sure I was going to marry that girl when I was 10.
No, yeah, that was definitely a crush. That was definitely a crush.
But here we are. She is 20 beautiful. Some odd years later. Did you know she was never, she was 20 when she started that show, so she was never a teenage witch?
That makes sense, because I feel like they, like, waited till Clarissa Explains It All went off, you know? And I feel like she was a teenager for all of that, you know?
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, when I was little, I wasn't sure if, like, it was just a continuation. Like, oh, Clarissa finds out she's part witch, so her family sends her away. And then now she's Sabrina, and now it's like she got... So I didn't know if those two universes, like, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't fit together very well. But in my little kid mind, they did.
Well, I mean, maybe one day we'll talk more about Sabrina. But until then, yeah. this episode of the Halloween podcast is coming to a close.
What should we say? What is the official line? I declare this meeting of the Halloween podcast.
And then we throw water over the fire and and we're gone. Have a good night, apparently.
Yeah, right. Bye. Go home. It's dark. It's midnight. Yeah.
No, all right. I got to do the end. So if you'd like to send any questions, comments, or want to suggest anything for a future show, go ahead and send those to thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thehalloweenpod. Wait, no. Facebook is facebook.com/thehalloweenpodcast. And we're also on Twitter at The Halloween Pod. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it a couple of different ways. Just go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Those always help. Getting
5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars are the best. But, I mean, honestly, be honest. If you think I had one review that said that I was a terrible host.
What?
So am I? I don't know. But that person gave me 2 stars. So we need to weigh it out with more 5 stars. So
well, if I could rate that... review where I would rate them a half a star.
Half a star? All right. Well, I don't know who
you
it was.
Were not you. No. If I was rate you, you're 10 stars out of 5.
they apparently loved April when me and April were doing a lot of the early shows.
She was great. Yeah, she's hilarious. I really like her.
So was it you that wrote that review?
No.
Just making sure.
You messed up. I gave you 5 stars, like, instantly.
Yeah, they loved her, but apparently I was a terrible host. And if you think I'm a good host or if I'm bearable, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review so we can outweigh that 2-star review that I got early on in the Halloween podcast. So yeah, and
but thank you again for having me, Lyle. It's been a pleasure, and it's I love talking about the Night Society and Halloween with you.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do this more regularly, once every month at least. So if you enjoy Are You Afraid of the Dark, if you enjoy our banter, you're really going to love the shows that are going to come up very soon. So, Carson, thanks so much for coming on, man.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And then I guess that's it. You guys, we'll see you next time and have a good night.
Good night, you guys. Happy Halloween.